In November 2016, a big earthquake struck Kaikoura. The damage was extensive across the region, and when it was cleared, a group of Marlborough locals decided that they needed to come together to look at the geological effects of the quake and what needs to be done to protect the coastline. Since then, the East Coast Protection Group, as they're called, has been focused on the Cape Campbell Peninsula. Robert Peter is a member, and he joins us now. Hello there.
Yes, hello.
Nice to chat to you. How would people find Cape Campbell on the map, Rob?
It's the most northeastern tip of the South Island. It's the top end of the Kaikoura Coast, really.
Okay, and how close are you to that little peninsula?
We've got a farm that includes right out to the peninsula.
Uh-huh. And yeah, is it of particular sort of, ecological interest, that part of New Zealand?
Yes, it's been under the Marlborough District Council. They've identified it as an outstanding natural landscape. That's the highest rating, and it's very high in coastal natural character and ecologically significant marine sites. And a lot of what puts it on the map is just its rugged sort of beauty. It's open land, and a large stretch of beach.
What sort of stuff do you find along that coastline?
Ah, there's been all sorts. There's been 18 shipwrecks out there, and then they put up the lighthouse in 1870, and it's been going ever since. And we've got the substantial lighthouse is still there, and I suppose the most exciting thing that's happened out there, I suppose, is some movie fellas from America turning up doing Light Between the Oceans.
Okay, and what about in terms of wildlife? Is there a lot of seabirds and other interesting critters?
Yes, there's a lot of, on the southern side of the peninsula, there's a lot of low platform rocks and open beaches, and there's a wide variety of marine life that was there, plus numerous resident birds. And also it was one of the better established areas for catapos. And the catapos out in the area seem to have gone extinct.
Which is actually how we ended up talking to you, because we were talking catapo last week on the show, and I think your ears sort of pricked up and you thought, oh, that's my hood. So tell us why you decided to form this East Coast Protection Group.
It was mainly with the uplift. The area was restricted access because the tide was coming right in, and now it's more or less 24/7 access. There's just a wee short spell right at high tide when it's not that accessible. And large numbers of vehicles and people and horses, all sorts of recreational uses have started happening. And it's like the area of the East Coast Protection Group is about 50 kilometres long, and it's just a narrow little strip right along the beach, and it's where everything is. You know, it's where the food is, where the birds are, where the insects are, and it's just very hard to protect it, or hard to put any place where the vehicles could go.
So when you say accessible, meaning that for the first time, members of the public, sometimes in four-wheel drives or horses or whatever, can actually get to this place, but previously they couldn't, or was very difficult to?
Yes, it was only open at low tide, and they'd have to make a short trip out and come back again.
Yeah.
But now it's sort of open all the time, and they're travelling more or less the whole distance of that 50 kilometres.
And so the way it works is you're the farmer, but you don't sort of have any rights over that beach, right?
No, it's public land. Yes, where they're going,
but you're keen on protecting it and sort of looking after it.
Yes, we've had a long term interest, I suppose, in the beach and the land, and a lot on the history, and to see it just deteriorating and the species, you know, struggling. We've decided to be part of the group and try and do something about it.
So who makes up this group?
It's made up of local fishermen, local fishermen and members of the public, quite a lot of beach users, and a few landowners, and also co-opted members have come from DOC and Marlborough District Council, and their ecological team has also come along to the meetings.
Is it a natural fit for you being a farmer? I think you're a sheep and beef farmer, so yeah. the conservation side of things, does that feel like kind of part of your job or your interests, or did you just happen to be a bit of a conservation guy?
A bit of both. There's a bit of family history, both on Sally's side and also myself. And for many years, we've been interested in the environment. We've got several reserves on our place. Most of them are under Kiwi 2s. And also, we've had a keen interest along the coastline. Sally's also a member of the local museum, and she knows a huge amount about the history.
What sort of damage are we talking about when these four-wheel drives or big cars go down there?
A lot of it is we've done quite a lot of research work on shellfish on one of the beaches that's round. The beach that we've been looking at is about 1.2 kilometres, and it used to have extensive shellfish beds. And we've done 25 small survey plots just for screening the sands. And we've only found one small pippy and one small whelk, whereas there's just hundreds upon hundreds of dead shells. And we have major concerns about trying to get those shellfish beds to recover. There's quite a problem with the shellfish larvae when they wash up, sort of around up in the mid and higher tidal zone. And then if they get run over at that stage, they're just like little balls of jellyfish, a jelly, and they just get squashed. There's also a big disturbance to a lot of the birds. The birds were previously nesting. The main species that were nesting along our coast were banded dotterels, variable oyster catchers, small penguins, and white-fronted terns. And this last year, we did monitored about 12 kilometres of the beach, and there wasn't one species of any sort raised as chick. Yeah, it's sort of things of, you know, some of it's a result of the actual natural uplift of the earthquake, and some of it's a result of the increased human pressure, not really allowing it to recover.
What's the plan?
A lot of the plan of the group has actually been to inform people of what's actually happening. And also at the moment, Mike Avis from the Marlborough District Council, he's got 5,000 plants ordered, and there's quite a bit of replanting to go on along uplifted areas. Some of that will be in the hope of trying to get all the native species out of these sand dunes to have a new habitat. They haven't sort of really transferred through into the new habitat. That where Mark and Eve were doing research work on the catapos, that's all in new sand dune areas, in the actual catapos. They've struggled, I think, with habitat loss, a lot of it, with the mountain grass being too thick for them to make their webs and actually catch any food.
Must be pretty heartbreaking, some of this stuff happening before your eyes.
Oh, yes, we've been campaigning for, you know, over 20 years now to try and get some changes made, and then to see what's happened since the earthquake and nobody to have actually stepped in and really cared about the area, it is quite concerning.
What would be the ideal scenario to get the place maybe restricted for vehicles, perhaps, and then, what do you think, like a marine reserve or what?
Yes, whether it needs to go into a marine reserve, there is partial sort of reserves on it, for there's pods of hectic dolphins live around that area, and also, you know, it's classified very highly with these council ratings, and to try and get further protection on it, I think would be of benefit.
Who's the iwi, and are they involved in the protection group?
Yes. Recently we've had quite a few discussions with the local Rangitane and also Ngāti Kuru from Kaikoura, and yes, there's another meeting coming up in the beginning of August with Ngāti Kuru, and yes, I think they're keen to see some protection put in place too.
Management of those shellfish would be probably something they'd be pretty interested in.
Yes, yes. There's a huge crayfish and power resource there also, along the coast.
So what's the message in the meantime for people who sometimes like to go check out that beautiful coastline?
I think at the moment, in the time being, it's going to remain open for anybody to do anything they like. And really, for the foreseeable future, it doesn't look like there's going to be any restrictions at all placed on anything. The breeding season for the birds is just starting. The endodactyls are just starting to pair up now, and they'll start breeding in August. And they're one of the species that, is of major concern. They nest in several spots right along the coast, and there's significant numbers there, through the winter and all the year round.
And so for anyone listening who sometimes goes along there, what would you say to them?
Be very careful. To actually see like a banded dotterel's nest if you're driving a vehicle, even if you're walking, it's very, very hard to see one.
Yeah.
So it's one of the things that would really help is not taking dogs into the area. That's been one thing we've been trying to get through, and you'd think something like just getting protection from dogs would be relatively easy. There was substantial numbers of little blue penguins along the coast, and now they've gone completely, more or less, and dogs are one of the contributing things to their decline.
I feel like I've seen on other beaches little netting up around the dotterel nest. Is that something that could be a possibility? Could Doc get involved or something there?
Yes, we've tried that. There's a sort of a reasonably militant attitude from one or two of the beach users, and the last nest we did that to, the eggs were taken with somebody wearing big red band gumboots. So it's sort of limited what we can do like that, I think.
The eggs were taken?
Yeah.
For what?
There's a belief if there's no species there to protect, then there won't be any need of any protection, and that it'll just remain open for them to use as they see fit.
You've got your work cut out for you, haven't you?
Yeah. Yes, okay. We're reasonably patient on it. When you've been doing something for like 20 years and trying, it's only a part-time thing. But yes, you get a bit philosophical about it and sort of a bit patient. Yeah.
Okay, so I suppose the more of you there are involved in this East Coast Protection Group, the more people have got the same message, and hopefully the more word will get around, hey?
Yes, and we've just started on taking the message to the public. I think, it's a public asset, and really, what we want really counts little. It's what the public really want. Do they want these species protected? Do they want, the next generation to have these species, or do they want them just to carry on declining? And we're getting a lot of information out into the public through the local paper and varying other means. The group has also done pamphlets and a bit of signage. Signage doesn't seem to last very long out our way.
You were saying off air that you're pretty computer illiterate. Have you got someone, Sally, organised a Facebook page or something?
Yes, there is computer stuff. There's a Facebook page, and okay, also I think they've got a bit of a website.
Yeah. East Coast Protection Group. Mate, I know you're a busy farmer, so thanks very much for taking a few minutes out of your day.
Yep.
Nice to chat to you.
No, that's good.
It's
okay, thank you.
Thanks. That's Robert Peter trying to look after the Cape Campbell Peninsula.